Nein, doch nicht Frau. This piece started in 2015 as a five-word poem. I won't tell you the five words because the poem has grown a lot since. The silly squid. Springtime rises in the sea and stirs the seascape's chemistry. It swells and wells its wildest plea when nature calls for procreation. A silly squid swims in this ocean, and sprung by spring into the notion of wooing for his Mrs. Squid, he swirls into a courting motion. He lifts his hat in freshest fashion, and charms her with a breath of ink, takes her hands and slings his arms around her waist and means no harm. But Mrs. Squid, in squabbly mood, from winter still and lack of food, has no inkling, has no clue, will not be mated, not be wooed. She blushes with a tinge of pink, removes his arms from where they slid, and slipping out from squishy grip, she squids a glare at Mr. Squid. Can't you wait for springtime's peak? Your silly wibbly wobbly winks cannot seduce me, not convince. It's just not ladylike, methinks. Though struggling with his wild emotion, he yields politely to her notion. When ready, she will come to me, and waits in perfect gallantry. But that's not good enough for her. She's moody, wanting his attention. Don't lure me with that sleeky smile. You need to change your hat, your style. And don't you squirt your ink at me, you lazy lover. May I speak? A lady's love goes through the beak. Go hunt me dinner first, says she. The squid, who pliantly agrees, swims out to satisfy her needs and brings to her the biggest fish that makes a perfect wedding dish. His hopes are high after the meal. He tries again to draw her near and does his best to make her his, but she has yet another wish. A bit of bling would be my choice. For every arm, I want a ring. She speaks with haughty tone of voice and sends him on another mission. He does it all to please her vision, yet every time he thinks he's close, she bitches at another thing, and he accepts the undertone. Thus, sprung by spring into the dance, bickering in true romance, they squibble squabbling in the sea, all because of nature's plea.
Next up, we have Sandra Beasley. Hello, I just arrived from the United States on Friday. I'm here for 3 months with the Munster Literature Center. 2019 is 10 years to the day since I quit a perfectly good job to try to be a poet full time. And it has taken me all over, but when I'm lucky, it takes me to Ireland. So this poem is about that. It's for any artist. It's called Vocation. For 6 months, I dealt baccarat in a casino. For 6 months, I played Brahms in a shopping mall. For 6 months, I arranged museum dioramas. My hands were too small for the Paleolithic, and when they reassigned me to lichens, I quit. I type 91 words per minute, all of them help. Yes, I speak Dewey Decimal. I speak Russian, Latin, a smattering of Tlingit. I can balance 7 dinner plates on my arm. All I want to do is sit on a veranda while a hard rain falls around me. I'll file your tax forms. I'll make love to strangers of your choice. I'll do whatever you want as long as I can do it on that veranda. If it calls you, it's your calling, right? Once I asked a stockbroker what he loved about his job, and he said, making a killing. Once I asked a serial killer what made him get up in the morning, and he said, the people.
Last week, I alluded to the man who rebuilt the walls of Derry, etc., etc., built a palace, a spire on the cathedral, built something called the Mussenden Temple, which you can see in the train if you leave Derry and go to Belfast, built three large country houses, right, and then, more recently, a bit of a surprise, the Marquis, his descendant, presumably, died, and there were no fewer than three pages devoted to this in the Daily Telegraph, 99. Death of Marquis. The prominent cigarette has his arms and an urn create a collage effect. That was the photograph on the obituary page, nobility in trench coat versus old values. On the news pages, a different image, the great coat's fur collar is a huge wreath anticipatory of mortality. At Ickworth, with friends years ago, I lived the breakfast to evening life of the aristocracy of the 19th century, moving through a morning room past table laden with heavy silver to the study, the magnificent library, and the drawing room, where I encountered the busts of Pitt and Fox, Canning and Lord Liverpool. The late, the seventh Marquess, hot deep in drugs, believed to be worth $7 million, preferred nobility, preferred notoriety, issue politics.
Margaret Charles. And next up is Mr. Benjamin Burns.
If you go to the cafe in Fitzgerald Park, quite early in the morning, all kinds of little birds will be interested in your food. I saw a jackdaw swoop down, take a packet of brown sugar from one of the little round bowls, fly back onto the rail, hold the packet in its claws, tear it open and start eating the sugar. I was eating a flapjack and feeding little crumbs of it to a blackbird, and the jackdaw came over and was like, right at me. And I knew what it meant. It meant, give me some of your flapjack. But also, and then a robin swooped in later and took a raisin from my plate and flew away again. This poem, anyway, is from the point of view of the blackbird who I was feeding crumbs to. Crumbs rain to earth, scattered by the pale, featherless appendages of a strange, beakless giant who watches me with dumb mammalian eyes. I snap the crumbs up hungrily, keeping out of reach of those long, flightless wings, that dark, misshapen form, so like the evening sky, without moon, star, or song.
Next up, Patricia Walsh.
This one does have a title, but just bear with me. You're not scary at all, nor even funny forthwith. The detox should cover a multitude of facts. Right against time, love over scrutiny. The heroine of the unwanted declaring supremacy. The green light district follows the sorrow of technological letdowns, repairs, and sudden failures. Built in obsessions of grateful precision over facts. Sudden lighting and gratitude, a purple patch. The variegated sky shakes its wares over the city. Not even a functioning hairdryer can stop us now. Watching refreshments come and go at duress. Sapping sidewalk with treacherous feet at will. An early son of God breaks a peace. Two against three, three against two. Sliding against types still under scrutiny. Secure elevation to rain is a necessity. Playing with food, eating out of bones, wetted for a better bearing, stall childish play. Ensuring hardened tacks snatch the seats from you for fear of germination for the higher good. Stolen confectionery suits me null. No fettered silence can remedy this blame. Take as much as you want to lose, do carry. Scales from eyes fall to relieve the grandiose. Thank you.
So the things that I write down is either observations, memories, or love letters. This one is a love letter. My head sinks into your shoulder, like a naked foot into the sand, leaving a footprint behind, and so does my head, and so does your hand, that was laying softly around it, close to my ear, and the other one listens to your heartbeat, its pace is like my own. We let go of each other, you lift your hand, and it leaves a warm memory behind, and so does my head. But I move it up to look into your eyes, that seem like a nebula far away in space, it's cloudy green. And gentle brown. We turn our faces and eyes away from each other, and the depth of the universe is mirrored back from our eyes, remembering autumn, and so do yours. They reflect the sunlight of the deep blue waters of an endless ocean, remembering a summer we have never even known.
My girlfriend was giving out to me because I haven't written any poems lately. I said, I've been writing songs. She was, we'll do a song then, so here's her song. My boiling brain is nearly getting fit to burst with the government sucking up to the church. It's all about property and who owns what. They stole it from the people and we haven't forgot. Then nuns and priests are fucking evil dudes throwing babies at the sewers, perving on the youth. They've had their fun, now their time has come. Gonna get me a hammer, gonna knock some churches down. They get you when you're born, they get you when you die. They fill you up with bullshit about some dude up in the sky. Dressing up your daughter to wed her to the church is the dodgiest concept that I've ever heard. The nuns are selling babies and the bishops are too. They're lying and they're cheating and they blame it all on you. The government's sucking up. The government's worshipping the ruling class. They're going to bend you over backwards, going to fuck you up the arse. My boiling brain is bursting out of my head. I'm looking at, I'm searching for some reds on another bed. Get me some commies and some anarchists too. Tell them to ask the bishop, what would Jesus do? They get you when you're born. They get you when you die. They fill you up with bullshit, put some dude up in the sky. Dressing up your daughter to wed her to the church is the dodgiest concept that I've ever heard.
No! cappuccino.
Oh yeah, okay.
Actually, sorry. Oh, yeah. Philip is next on the list. Sorry, Max, you were then. Sorry. Philip?
Yeah.
She's gobbling it.
Bring in your talent for
I'm in conflict at the moment. I was going to do a new one, but then I got influenced by guest poets, poems of folklore. So I thought I'd share my own piece of folklore with you all. And yeah, this is called Memory Hair. Upon my head grows memory hair, and where I step grows fungi. So I walk in a circle, bloody it but out, crisp, white, and spongy. Slowly while they age and grow to become stone, a stone circle more profound and amplified in mystic and power, because they somehow echo the moon's song line. In my own chaining track I backtrack to the spot where tracing the old mushroom road I laid long before, while I was younger with a rainbow cloak and my antlers branched out, smothered with leaves of amber. Because I've aged, I've become bold. I've lost my memory hair. Becoming weary in my travels, I ghost in younger orange remains. Becoming useless and lost. And what is fearful is, I feel myself falling more. I feel like a reaper walking among Gaia's turf bosom. Thank you very much.
Ramon and Philip. And next up is Max Creedon.
But I do know that your poetry about the landscape down there, it's just my whole song. I don't like to repeat songs. I try to do one and not do them again. Not having the moment. So this is the one I wrote for Tim Goulding's exhibition. I just walked in there and there were just all these houses with mist and it was just beautiful. And they kind of sang to me. So put up with me. I did not get to know. It's all God.
You put up with it?
No, I won't. Oh, I doubt it. I had a dodge.
That one, I think I'll stop because this hair is so bad. This is like a bunch of dreams. Your thoughts align and disalign like grains of sand rolled out on a beach for all the miles you can think. Your thoughts align and disalign like the space between each. Something else beats and enlarges in the dark. Huge hearts, lungs, and intestines rolled up. Heavy skulls turn slowly one side and the other, stretching skins which could spread out like maps of all the oceans and seas for many of the miles you can think. These are not really metaphors. On the beach of your thoughts, huge animals dwell, and beneath the subterraneans. The whales are stranded on the thin strand of sand between the two seas. This is their last breath of dust. From the dark room, you can hear their hearts pulsing slowly and slower. Then dying, the dark juices turn into song. The lions are racing on the long strand of sand rolled out like a vowel. They're as big as the whales, but mad and alive, biting into the flesh of each other, pushing and pulling and rolling in fight. From the dark room, you can hear their tearing and loving. Then resting, the wounds turn into song. The elephants are dancing unspeakably, their feet as big as the lions move slowly, one side to the other. They're waving their trunks, turning their skulls, dancing in circles around the newborns, dancing in circles around the dying, dancing around the lions and whales. The sand swirls in the center, rises and falls into song. Your thoughts drip from the ceiling above your head, small mountains, grains of sand on the floor. In the dark room, you know the song of time encircles the songs of desire and death. Everyone is kneeling in the subterraneans. Everyone is praying in the dark room. Prayers grow into songs, and songs grow like mushrooms, upwards and tall, upwards and blind. The room is as full as you can imagine. Eyes are closed, hands are open. The child lays down and looks up, thinks it themselves, he says in a loop. You're afraid of the child, close your eyes and swear you won't look at the ceiling. Please, come join me in the bathroom. Songs grow like mushrooms. Imagine this is a metaphor. Come kneel in the dark, come melt into song. Be with me, don't look up.
And we have two more. Next up is Kiron the first.
Because if you were here last week, I tried to say this poem last week and you left out a verse and left in two like rolling intervals for 2 minute pieces now. Appropriate. So you can tell me which version you prefer. I'm gonna say this again. Well, no idle thread. To think that we won't have for you would be a grave mistake, that we'll suffer all your losses while you take and take and take, that we'll go quietly into the night as you inject stress into our days, attempt to shade a piercing light and manipulate our ways. But your idle thoughts and schemes consider us unfazed, that you could project manage our best instincts into only what pays, that your ideals would corrupt us, that our third eye would glaze. That we won't see you scamper at the back door through your smoke screen haze. Natural like a plant works, sucking water from its roots, you steal from us our concepts and sell us back your truths. Our honor has no traction and logic no use, and our feet aching walking in other people's shoes. Marching after mysteries and paying tax on clues. The rope style to make a noose produced many a lit fuse. Between a bad deal and no deal, you ask us to choose. and simulate success as we consistently lose. Just know that time isn't linear. You who rule the roost now, when morality is currency, we'll be fatted cows, and you'll come crawling to us begging for whose and what's and how's. I hope to give you the time of day that our patience allows, that we'll maintain the peace of a second slapped cheek, that you'll make 95 from stacks of 9 to 5 weeks. But I can promise nothing, and for you I cannot speak. Just know that choices made in freedom from prosperity's peak will be remembered when you're desperate and cited when you're weak. When revenge receives occasion and we've the grace not to take, and your pain needs no persuasion, maybe then you will awake. See, we could help each other for a mutual sake. That if you go any further up, we can only go down. That for all your time spent seeing straight, you have failed to look around. To see beneath your high fence borders, there lies common ground. May you connect with your humanity and humility be found, and give thanks that this land is above water, because otherwise you'd drown.
And last but not least, we have Alexis Espejo.
Hello.
Oh yeah, one more. That's all right. It's been a long time. It's only 20 past 9.
Pretty good.
20 past 9. That's what the clock
says.
Yeah. Sorry.
So this one was more like a fast fiction prompt, but the way I wrote it was a lot more poetic than fiction. And the prompt was basically just a chicken crossing the road. She graced red lips, slender legs, and a sheen of dirty blonde on her crown. Hesitating momentarily on how to proceed at this junction that I peered into and halted her life, her sheltered mind began to ponder. She wasn't a grand city gal. She wasn't a privileged princess. She was only a simple farm girl, one that was faced with something foreign to her on her quaint farm, one who was accustomed to plentiful acres of green, to the looseness of the gravel, and to the cute pink comb it led to. She was not familiar with tarmac, its heavy black and striped yellow surface, smooth to the touch, yet broken in places. It absorbed the heat of the boiling sun, which made the lumpy surface remind her of the coal beneath the grill her farmer cherished. It warmed her clawed feet. She hesitated, glancing over beyond the grand stretch of black and yellow, glancing left and glancing right. She spotted more green, but it was unkempt. Occasionally a hair would peek out from amongst it, almost beckoning her. She clucked, bobbed her head, and took 2 big footsteps forward. She crossed.
Finally, we have Pip.
This is based on a pub around the corner called Mains, and I used to be a chemist, okay? And I was there about a year ago, and I was doing this creative writing class, and we were asked to write a list poem, you know? So you write a list of thing, you know? So I used my memory of the pub around the corner, so, and this is it. Oh, I have to say that pharmacy, you know, chemist is a pharmacy, so can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Pharmacy is comes from the word, the Greek word pharmakon, which means poison. So you give somebody a little bit of poison, you know, you make them better. Maine's Pub, Pharmacon, Reap the Poison. Rows of goods and tools, pipettes, beakers, bandages and bottles, elixirs, and remedies for sores, syphilis, Polaroid cameras. Beneath the counter, ledgers unfold, telling prescriptions. Persistent cough, lethargic, Mrs. Murphy. Half a gram of arsenic, a pinch of sulfur. 2 and 6, table. Poor Mr. Lynch, terminal, laudanum tincture, 7 and 6, outstanding. They stood together here and spoke in hushed tones of love and life and strife and death. But today we shout last orders, a prescription destined to poison.
Another wonderful night at O'Vale, Hermina Magriff Galera's shot. Can we give another boule of boss for Cat?